So with that, why don't we turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8, for our scripture reading here this morning, and then we will get right into the message immediately after that. We're going to go to Romans, chapter 8, and I am going to read verses 12 through 18. Just kick us off for our message here this morning. Romans, chapter 8, a very, very affirming and positive chapter in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And I will be reading out of an NASB Bible, and I will also have the words up here on the screen. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we read these very uplifting words here today, Father, may it settle into our spirit and into our minds here this morning that we have been adopted into the family of God. And that news can't get any better than that, that we are part of your family. Let us remember that, Lord, not only today, but really for the rest of our lives, regardless of what circumstances or what times we may be in, that we are true children of you, and we are part of your family, and we can cry out, Abba, Father, to you. Thank you for that. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Today's message I have titled, Fear or Father? Last week we concluded our series on Christianity in Troubled Times, where I showed one possible and probable reason why America is in the terrible shape that it's in today. And that reason is, took me 6 weeks to say it, because the church is failing to be the church. The church. We are to be God's representatives on earth. But the church has suppressed the truth in unrighteousness, leading God to allow this nation and church to go our own way. And this country has and is doing what it thinks is right in its own eyes. America is now a substitute society, substituting good for evil and evil for good. We are morally bankrupt, and we are totally confused about what is right and wrong. Most of us would agree that we have never, ever seen our country in such turmoil, in such confusion, in such hypocrisy, in such lack of common sense. And I will throw this in there too. Absolute hatred towards our president. I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying that we've had 45 presidents. And America has never hated one man like they do today. So that begs the question, are we in end times? Is this the beginning of the end? Are we personally witnessing the birth pangs that Jesus says will happen just before his return to this earth? Well, today we're going to begin a new and short sermon series concerning end times. Let me say that again, because there's one word I want to take out. Today we begin a new sermon series on concerning end times. There's nothing short about my sermon series. After all, it took me 34 weeks to talk about the Ten Commandments. So you can do that math. But the question is this. Are we in end times? Today, end times seems to be a rather popular topic of discussion in churches, on the internet, on YouTube, on Facebook, on all kinds of social media. You see it more now than what you ever did at Y2K. Remember Y2K? That was like over 20 years ago. And over the past few weeks, I have had several people from this congregation approach me with questions about this. So, because they have, let's talk about the possibility of living in end times and see what the Word of God has to say. After all, that is our only source of truth, right? The Word of God, that's the only place we can go. So in this short series, we will look at three things. Number one, we're going to look at the different views of end times prophecy, which is called eschatology. Because the view that you may believe in, or the view that you may have, might not be the only view out there. Trust me, we're going to go over four different views. Number two, we're going to look at the signs that we need to be looking for. The Bible does give us signs of the end times. And number three, how we need to respond in the event that these are indeed end times that we are presently witnessing out there in our world. For someone like me who likes to do things in a very logical progression, this would be a logical progression for teaching and preaching on this topic. First, let's talk about the different eschatological views and of end times prophecy. And then we will follow that up with what signs do we need to be looking for, and we'll look up those scriptures and look at that. And then we will conclude with, okay, how do we respond? Now that we got all the end times prophecy scriptures here in front of us, how do we respond as Christians to what we have just covered? But today I'm going to do things a little bit backwards. I'm going to start with the conclusion. I'm going to start with number three. I'm going to start with our response. Well, why are you going to do that, Mike? Because I want all of us to know and understand what kind of biblical heart attitude we must all have as Christians, regardless of what we talk about in number one and talk about in number two. Because regardless of what view we may have or believe in, our attitude towards it still must be the same. We must all agree that end times, the return of Jesus is going to occur at some point in time. And our hearts must be right. So what I'm about to say in this morning's message is directed only towards believers, only towards Christians. I'm not directing any of this towards unbelievers, because Paul, what he says in that passage that we just read, verses 12 through 18, he says this in verse number 12. I tell you now, brethren, and when he says brethren, he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. So this morning's message is directed towards brothers and sisters in Christ. So if we're going to talk about a heart condition of believers, people like us, let's begin by talking about the human condition, because Paul addresses the human condition. I'm sure we would all agree and recognize that there is a battle going on in each and every one of us Christians between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh, that old sinful self that we had and still have. And Paul addresses that battle in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. But at the beginning, here in chapter 8, he goes on to tell us that if we are indeed saved, then the Spirit dwells in us. And he says that here in verse number 9, which we did not read, but it's still part of chapter 8. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed, what? The Spirit of God dwells in you. Anything that's in bold and underline is of most importance, okay? The Spirit of God dwells in you if you are saved. So if you are saved, you got the Spirit. If you got the Spirit, you are saved. It's kind of synonymous. And now the Spirit, so what Paul is telling us now is this. The Spirit of God is now our new master, okay? He is now in charge. The Spirit is in charge. So let's go to our first fill in the blank in the bulletin, and let's fill that out. And it would say this. Paul makes it very clear in verses 12 and 13 that we either live according to the flesh or we live according to the Spirit. And if we continue to live according to the flesh, which is our sinful nature, he says this, we must put that to death. Is it going to go away? Of course it's never going to go away. But we got to put it to death, he says. The human condition, our desire to sin will always be a part of us. But we cannot allow this to win. That's why Paul says we cannot continue to live according to the flesh. So, but there is a battle, and we're all aware of the battle. I'm sure we would all agree. Let's go to our next fill in the blank. And he says this in verse 15. You're either in slavery to fear or you follow the Father. He says that in verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. In this new creation that we have, we cannot live according to the way that we used to live. The old you, the old me, had a spirit of slavery to sin. We were slaves to sin, which Paul says leads to fear. Key word, fear. The new you, the new me, must have a spirit that understands that we have been adopted as sons and daughters into God's family, in which we can cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. He's our daddy. We're his children. So the question becomes, the title of today's message, fear or father? Which one will it be? The old human condition of ours wants to fear. Why? Because sometimes it can be difficult to trust God. But Paul says, we have to trust him. He's our father. He's our Abba. He's our daddy. But this can be a very huge problem for some people because they never had an earthly father that they could trust. And for some reason, these same people think that our Heavenly Father will let them down too, just like their earthly father let them down. And what Paul is saying in this section of Scripture is this: no, you can't go there. Put away your fear. Start living by the Spirit of the Father instead of the spirit of slavery, which leads to fear. Christian, believer, we need to remember whose we are. And if we do not build that God is our Father, as our foundational identity and mindset, we will never, ever be prepared to act and make wise and godly decisions whenever end times fall upon us. So, if we are going through end times, we will have questions. And that's why a couple people from this congregation contacted me over the last couple weeks. But we have questions. Why? Because all these questions lead to what human emotion? I'll give you a hint. It's five letters, and it begins with the letter W. And Jesus tells us not to do it. What is it?
Worry.
All these questions lead us to the human emotion of worry, and worry is synonymous with fear. And what does Jesus tell us about worrying? Don't do it. Don't do it. He tells us not to fear. Why? Our next fill in the blank. Because to worry means we are trusting our own devices before we trust God's provisions. If we worry, we are trusting our own devices before we trust God's provisions. And I guarantee you, God's provisions are far better than our own devices. If we do this, if we worry, we are submitting to a spirit of slavery, which is the human condition, which leads to fear. And Paul tells us we can't do that any longer as believers. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, Jesus speaks a very interesting parable about a rich man. And this rich man has a bumper crop. And because of this bumper crop, he says this: I need to build more buildings to store everything because I have this great crop coming in. So he does, according to the parable. And Jesus says that the man says this, that he's going to eat, drink, and be merry. And he's just going to bask in his delight over his bumper crop. Well, this man is only concerned about himself, and he's not concerned about God. And Jesus ends that particular parable by saying this: but God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? Bold and underline, we pay attention. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, I know this parable can certainly be used for a salvation parable, that the man needs to give his life to God. But I'm going to take it one step further and say this. Once we have given our life to Jesus Christ, we need to live as if we've given our life to Jesus Christ. And immediately after this parable, Jesus speaks about that W word, worry. You see, the man in that parable worried about all the wrong things. He worried about three things mostly. One, himself. He worried about two, his wealth. And number three, most of all, he worried about his future. He worried about his future. And Jesus tells us this, not to worry about such things. Not to worry about anything. So the question becomes, do we trust the great provider? Or do we trust our own devices? Jesus goes on in those verses, there in Luke 12, to speak about the lilies of the field.
and the feeding of the sparrows. And he ends that whole section on worrying by saying this. And we can also find this in Matthew chapter 6. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Do not be afraid. We have the kingdom. We are children of the kingdom. We are no longer of this world. The kingdom is now our focus. Let the world just go away. Because now we are children of the kingdom. We belong somewhere else. And one of the ways that our flesh wins over the spirit is when we allow it to mold our thoughts about the return of Jesus Christ and what the world would be like when he returns. Well, Paul addresses that in verse 18. That's why I included verse 18 in this section. And Paul says this in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul is saying this. We might be suffering now. And when end times come around, we might be suffering then. But let's compare the two. Suffering, glory. Suffering, glory. Fear, or Father. We need to decide which one is going to be our master. Do we want to build bigger barns because that is our concern? Or do we want to seek God and his righteousness and trust him? Now, if you're concerned at all that maybe we are going through end times, so let's go there just for a second. Here's an obvious question. But Mike, if we are going through end times, doesn't the Bible tell me that I won't be able to buy or sell anything? And what if I don't take the COVID-19 vaccine? That is the mark of the beast, isn't it, Mike? What if I don't take it? And other questions along the same line. Folks, I am not here this morning to tell you to sell all your belongings and buy 100 acres in Montana and go live off the land, okay? That is not my purpose. Because even if you did, if things get that bad in end times and we are living through things that are that bad, and people become as evil as the Bible says they will become, they're going to find you in Montana. And they're going to take all that you have anyways, regardless if you're in Montana or if you're in Nelson County, Virginia. If it's that bad, it's going to be that bad no matter where you are. And may I say this, just as, not only as your pastor, but as your friend, quit believing everything you see and hear on the news and on social media. Amen. Amen. I need to take that advice, okay? I need to take that advice too. Quit believing everything that we hear and see on the news. And so I just quit believing everything. I don't know what to believe anymore, except my wife. I got to believe her. Paul says this. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So what do we have to fear? Really, what do we have to fear? We fear because we're spoiled, rotten 21st century Americans. That's why. If we went to some places in Africa, their living conditions are so bad now that they would be thinking that they're living in end times, because they don't know if they're going to make it the night. Today, we started with a conclusion. How do we, as Christians, respond if we are going through end times? Will I allow fear to dominate our Christian walk? Or will we allow the Father to dominate our Christian walk? Well, there's a whole lot more that I could say about this, but I think we all get the point. We are not Christians only in the good times. It's during the toughest times of persecution that will separate the wheat from the tares. So I just asked this morning, if we are going through end times, and I'll let you decide that, because I'll just give all the biblical facts and we'll all conclude our own conclusions. But if we are, is your heart ready to trust the Father instead of trusting ourselves? Next week, we're going to start looking at the signs, and we're going to begin to study the different eschatological views. Chances are, the view that you have always believed that's going to happen in end times might be a little different than what maybe the person next to you believes, or maybe even me. Let's go to God in prayer.